Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
The world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Hello, good morning, and happy Thursday to all you sports fans in the Valley. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Jared Carlin, Sarah Cazell embarking on 4 hours of just fun stuff. And some bad stuff, like the ASU basketball game you attended last night. Vince Murata bringing your special brand of Buzzard's Luck to Arizona State's basketball.
I was blamed on Twitter for jinxing everything.
Yeah.
My argument was
10 points in the first half. Man. Man, that was good stuff.
The second half was so much better.
Oh, it really was.
It was almost twice as good.
Washington State went 11 minutes without scoring at one point in time and never lost the lead. They went on an 11-minute scoring drought and never lost the lead. That's hard to do.
It was
impressive, honestly.
Right. Yeah,
I brought my my buddy and one of my sons to the game because we have a partnership, obviously, with ASU basketball. Mm-hmm. We air the game, so we had that ticket deal that we were promoting for $9.87. So
funny how I never get asked by ASU to do this kind of stuff. It's really really amazing how that is. All these years, I never continue. Please.
I just assumed you said
myself.
No.
Oh, no. You can assume they wouldn't ask is what you can assume.
So as part of it, to acknowledge the partnership, hey, here's Vince Murata. And then it gave me an autographed ball from Bobby Hurley. That's the first, and I used to go to ASU basketball games regularly, sometimes as a fan, a lot of times to cover the games.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been in a while. That's the first game I've been to in a while. And I was treated.
And you got that game.
I was treated to 29 points by the Sun Devils.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was quite something.
Yeah. It was. I am not responsible, even though I was the third leading scorer on the team last.
Yeah. Right.
That's right. You touched the ball before the game, right?
Wow.
I was at a luncheon yesterday at Chase Field where the former president George W. Bush was a speaker. He did
really.
He sort of did a give and take with Derek Hall. It was incredibly entertaining. He's very, very funny. And I bring that up because I was seated at a table of Arizona people. And once again, I have to relive the fact that on a couple of times throughout the course of the last 20 years, I have written columns proclaiming ASU closing the gap on Arizona's basketball team. And I get reminded that quite frequently, especially seasons like this.
Yeah, I could see, like, it was suggested earlier in the week, and I thought, okay, maybe we're being a little bit premature here. ASU's rebuilding a bit, and U of A's rebuilding a bit.
Uh-huh.
After a game like last night, I saw a lot of people getting on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, U of A did leave the door open for a couple years.
Right. That's the thing about ASU athletics. Doors get left open. Windows are open. They never go through them.
Oh, no.
The heating and cooling bills must be through the roof.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Jared, you going to say anything today? You all right?
I don't blame you for saying that probably when you said it.
Uh-huh.
Because the Bobby Hurley era coincided with sort of the downfall of the Sean Miller era.
Yes.
And there was two different years where ASU got up in one of the top 10 in the non-conference schedule.
Yeah.
They were number
right.
two
they
at one
that?
Point,
they
weren't they?
Kansas on the in successive years.
It was not.
Memories like the corners of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know Wildcats fans. They're not going to let that
Misty
one go.
Misty watercolor memory.
All right, Vinny, stop. Start the show, Jared.
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Panama. Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Kyla Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. They were both on the practice field for the Arizona Cardinals Wednesday, both officially listed as limited participants. Murray, of course, recovering from an ankle sprain. Hopkins, a hamstring ailment. The only three non-participants on Wednesday were all offensive linemen. Kelvin Beachum and Rodney Hudson had veterans' days off, while Justin Pugh sat out with a calf injury. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury said Pugh will be a game-time decision for Sunday when the Cardinals take on the Bears at Soldier Field. Speaking of Chicago, they had eight players who did not practice Wednesday due to injury, including tight end Cole Kmet, whose last name, when you spell it out, sounds like a radio station.
K-M-E-T.
K-M-E-T.
Yeah.
Playing the hits.
Uh-huh.
Linebacker Roquan Smith, wide receiver Allen Robinson, both all out. Rookie quarterback Justin Fields, who missed last week's game with a ribs injury, was limited. But we were looking for the length of that injury report way shorter for the Cardinals.
Well, and that's the big takeaway, Vinny. The big takeaway yesterday is, fingers crossed, our football team is getting healthy. Fingers crossed. Now, that's not to say there won't be new injuries occurred along the way, but that's the hope.
Week 13 gets underway tonight in the NFL with the Saints hosting the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Back-to-back Thursday games for both of those teams after the Thanksgiving participation.
Oh, that's right.
Taysom Hill getting the start for the quarter at quarterback for the Saints in place of Trevor Siemian. Cowboys are without their head coach Mike McCarthy, who tested positive for COVID-19 earlier this week. Wide receiver Amari Cooper is expected to play after coming off the COVID-19 reserve list. Kickoff in the Big Easy at 6:20 p.m.
Taysom Hill tonight starting for the Saints.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a barn
burner.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you thought Adrian Peterson's long career was over, the Seattle Seahawks come a-calling. Peterson signing to the Seahawks practice squad on Wednesday. Seahawks host San Francisco on Sunday. There was an update on the condition of the hamstring of Suns guard Devin Booker. Adrian Wojnarowski, the first to put it out there yesterday. Booker expected to miss a few games with that left hamstring injury. It's considered minor. Suns plan to err on the side of caution with a long way to go for a team with title hopes, as Woj tweeted. Phoenix, of course, riding a 17-game winning streak. Looking to break the record tonight. Franchise record is 17, so they can make it 18 tonight as they host the Detroit Pistons at Footprint Center.
Yeah.
Pistons come in at 4-17 and on a 7-game losing streak. Tip-off tonight, 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30.
There you go.
I watched the television broadcast to see if you could pinpoint when it happened. It was very subtle, but you could see Devin Booker kind of laboring up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they went to a timeout, they called a timeout at kind of a weird spot, and he immediately kind of violently untucked his jersey, and that was kind of a sign like, I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arizona Diamondbacks have found their closer for 2022 and 2023. It's veteran right-hander Mark Melancon. 36-year-old signed a two-year deal with the D-backs on Wednesday. He led the majors last year with the Padres. 39 saves, a 2.23 ERA. To put that in perspective, again, Melancon 39 saves. The D-backs had 22 saves
team. It's the most money they've ever spent on a reliever. They're not paying him a ton. But it's the most money they've ever paid a relief pitcher, which kind of tells you about their philosophies in recent years about how to build a bullpen. This guy is older, but he's durable.
Yeah, had a really good year. Four-time All-Star, too.
Right.
And a Wildcat.
Well, I was going to leave that part out.
Hey.
It's been a while. He's probably recovered by now. Cubs
played on every team in the majors.
That's true.
Seriously.
Cubs are signing right-hander Marcus Stroman to a contract. Dodgers bringing back super utility man Chris Taylor on a four-year contract. But everything else is on hold for a while because CBA negotiations between the Players Association and owners lasted for 7 minutes before less than 12 hours before the labor lockout deadline. It went into effect at midnight Eastern last night. Jeff Passan of ESPN spelled out that the union's proposal this week included playoff expansion to 12 teams and the ability to put patches on uniforms. Players remain steadfast in their desire to remove artificial restraints on free agency, get players paid more at earlier ages, fix service time manipulation, and address tanking.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. This has got ugly written all over it.
First stoppage since 95, lockout since 90, and it is interesting to note that there's never been any games canceled because of a lockout, only because of labor strike. So we'll see. But you're right. These two sides, It's like nobody, the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Nobody does stupid better than Major League Baseball.
That's their new slogan. Yeah, we talked about it. No need to labor the point, but ASU, 51-29, they lose last night. They take on Oregon on Sunday. By the way, the lowest point total in any college basketball game by a Division I team this year.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, ranked 11th in the nation, still undefeated. They won't lose tonight. That's because they won't play tonight. It's a game against Washington, postponed due to COVID-19 complications in the Huskies program. GCU's got UTSA in Phoenix at GCU Arena tonight. They'll tip it up at 7. And Arizona football has its new defensive coordinator, Johnny Nansen, who takes over for Don Brown. Nansen, considered a top recruiter, spent the last two seasons on UCLA's coaching staff under Chip Kelly. And I'm not saying this just because, but Nansen has had a lot of success recruiting-wise, but they point to, hey, he was on USC's staff, and they were tops in the Pac-12 in recruiting. It's a little different right now recruiting to Arizona, so we'll see how good he actually is.
Yeah, I'd say that's a hard job. Yeah. That's on my short list of the hardest jobs in sports.
And I'm only lashing out because ASU scored 29 points in a college basketball game.
It's quite okay.
Let it out, Vinny.
Oh, that felt good. There you go. There's your splash for Thursday, December 2nd. Coming up, Cardinals. They are getting healthier, but as Bick said, hopefully, that's the reality as they head into the Chicago game. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
Yeah, everybody had good energy. It's good to get those guys out there. They're a bit limited, but good to have them moving around and back with the team.
Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, as they returned to the practice field yesterday following the bye, getting ready for Week 13, Sunday in Chicago.
The Bears.
A certain Midwestern
the
town
Bears.
That begins with a C, ends in an O, and in the middle is Hickag. Yeah, talking there about Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Follow-up question there.
Hopper. Limited sort of.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you expected, Cliff?
Yeah. Yeah, we want to make sure they feel good and kind of ease them back into the week. Tomorrow we'll have pads on and hopefully they can do a little bit more.
Yeah, we saw the video of DeAndre Hopkins specifically running straight lines. And, hey, it was good to see him out there with a jersey.
Moving
on
around, Vinny.
Moving around. And that's, you know, that's a big ingredient of football is the ability to move
around. Yes, it is. It's hard to play football if you're not moving around.
I found that derailed my career.
Oh, yeah. Mine, too. Real fast.
Though Tom Brady sure tries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's probably the one
effort.
That's gotten away with it. Yeah.
Once again, he kind of bucks all the systems, really.
Do we have a weather forecast for Sunday in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. High of 51, a low of 29, and some scattered showers.
Is that right?
Yeah. I looked it up. Actually, my son looked it up yesterday.
Okay. 51 degrees is not terrible.
Not bad.
With
not
wind
bad.
Chill, it was supposed to be low 40s. Okay. Royal Norman tagged us in something yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
He's been doing that lately.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
I feel important when you get tagged by Royal Norman.
Absolutely.
It can get very, 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 very cold inside that stadium. I've shared the story of being a kid going to Bears games, and one I remember, we were in the last row, which I usually was when my dad got tickets to sporting events.
But hey, you were in the building.
I was in the building. And he said, Dan, you want a hot dog? Yeah, Dad, I would. He bought it, gave it to me. I bit into the thing. It was ice cold.
Oh,
ice cold.
Couldn't even use it as a hand warmer?
No, I got right? I wanted to. And I remember sitting there thinking, I am so cold. What is the matter with these people in the stadium? How are they enjoying this? And then when I covered the Bears, they used to hold the post-game press conferences in a tent outside. And we'd be waiting for Decca. And what I'm saying is the element, you've got to have a hardcore mentality to win football games there. You have to. The crowd is very hostile, very inebriated. The weather can be bad. I think the last time the Cardinals were there, was that the David Johnson game? Have they been back since?
Yeah, it was 2015. I'd have to look it up. That might be the last one.
I think that's their last trip there, and they just boat race the Bears.
So you're saying, and that was early season, though. That was week two.
That was week, and it was a gorgeous day.
Different animal altogether. So you're saying the easiest thing about making a road trip to Chicago to play a football game is supplied by the opposition. Because the Bears suck.
Yeah, that's right.
And everything else is tough except for the team.
That was the last time they visited them.
Okay, and then the time before that was, I'll never forget that. That was the day when didn't Anquan Boldin bail? What story am I remembering about this?
Oof, I don't know.
So I should have looked this up before I started rambling about something that was just a little flickering candle of memory. Don't start singing, Vinny.
Seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind. Not even Wednesday.
I think Anquan Boldin took his jersey out and left. I'm going to look this up so I don't mess this up.
By the way, Royal Norman's tweet to us. Early look at weather for Cardinals game in Chicago this Sunday. Cloudy, cold, windy with a chance of rain and wind chills in the 30s at noon. Okay. So that game will kick off at noon local time, or 1 o'clock local time in Chicago, correct?
Okay.
40. Yes. So 42 to 44, 40% chance of rain and windy.
Okay, that could be nasty. Yeah, that's going to be a big boy football game. And so the Cardinals, and they've been good at that. They've been terrific on the road. And that's the one thing I hope they're really vibing on. Do you know how cool it would be to complete an unbeaten road schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
No.
But they have been not just winning, but to be 6-0 at this point on the road and have all six of those victories be double digits. I mean, that's astounding.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable accomplishment. Back to the injuries. Justin Pugh is a guy who did not practice yesterday. He's coming back from injury, and Cliff Kingsbury did have an update on the guard status.
He's going to be game time. You know, he's felt better and he's progressed, but he's not out there yet practicing, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, there's so many of these sound bites that are just labeled Kingsbury update on so and so, update on so and so. You want to just go through the roster? It's Cliff Kingsbury. They're all short.
Yeah.
On long snapper Aaron Brewer,
he's eligible to come back for LA. So hopefully, LA week. I'm hoping.
Running back Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, the same. He's eligible for LA. I'd say it's going to be close, but I know he's been working at it.
Tanner Vallejo.
I think we'll have Matt back before the end of the season. I'd say, you know, hopefully 3 more weeks.
So that was fun. There's nobody else?
Well, we can go to the players themselves.
Okay.
Kyler Murray answering questions from the media yesterday.
Confident you're going to play Sunday?
Hopeful, yeah.
Are you confident?
Hopeful.
Yeah,
The word of the week is hopeful.
Isn't it just maddening?
But that's less than in past weeks. I feel good looking, you know. That seemed less optimistic than normal.
It did. It did kind of sound less optimistic.
It's Thursday. He's limited. He's hopeful. You have to consider, even on Thursday, the possibility of Colt McCoy getting another start on the road. The confidence level has to be there. The Cardinals have showed the ability to tweak the game plan and make things manageable for Colt McCoy. And when they've done that, he's done a masterful job in managing it. The Carolina game got sideways early. Colt McCoy did not play well in that game. But again, the game conditions as it unfolded did not work in the Cardinals' favor.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Cardinals beat the Bears in Chicago in
with
inclement
Colt McCoy?
Weather
yes,
with
can.
Colt McCoy?
Yes,
absolutely
they can.
They can.
Yes, they can.
I hope it doesn't come to that.
But they could also lose to the Bears with Colt McCoy.
They could.
I'm curious to see what the Bears are going to do with Justin Fields, because he's back practicing, but Andy Dalton, according to Matt Nagy, is going to be getting reps with the first team. So yeah, who knows what they're doing with that whole thing. I think that we'll get a much clearer picture as the week progresses, that hopefully from Kyler Murray. When I heard that yesterday, I had the same reaction you did, Jared. I'm like, oh, come on!
We're all hopeful.
And like we're respectful of the fact that he clearly does not or has not felt ready to play, and I respect that, but it's come on!
It's been a month.
It's been a month!
Text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, how will the Phoenix Suns perform without one of their best players? We're going to find out the condition of Devin Booker and more next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That
you know, we're still evaluating it, but it looks like he'll be down for a little bit. How long? I don't expect for long, but a few games is accurate. But he had some soreness last night. You saw him side on the court. If this were the finals, if this were the playoffs, he'd be back out there doing it again. So we're fortunate that it wasn't anything major, and he's going to get back to work, and we'll have him back soon, hopefully.
James Jones, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, on with Burns and Gambo yesterday for his weekly visit, updating the status of Devin Booker. And I guess when you put it into those terms like James Jones did, Bic, if this was the playoffs or the finals, he'd be back out there.
Mm-hmm.
That indicates, you know, a minor injury. But I don't know if there's such a thing as a minor injury in the regular season in the NBA. Because I think you could say, all right, he's going to be out for a few games. Multiply that by two or three, because that's just the way business happens now in terms of injuries in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Everybody's overly cautious. It's probably smart. It can be frustrating, but I think that's the situation that the Suns are in right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Again, I think that, as I said yesterday, I think that Devin Booker should just kind of get better. There is no rush to get him out there. I think that has to be the way that this season is framed, in my opinion. It's still 100 miles to the playoffs, and we experienced last year how important it is to be relatively healthy in those playoffs. So that the long view is very essential with this basketball team. I said yesterday, last year when they were hell-bent on competing for the number one seed all the way down to the last game of the season when they finally tapped out and took one game off, I think there was very, very good reason for that. I think they were still building something that they felt they hadn't achieved anything. Who are we to do? So I think their hearts were in the right places last year. I think they've got to be a little smarter this year about getting guys weeks off here and there if they need it. Now, I'm not saying load manage, because that is not what this basketball team is about, and I don't want them to change that.
Yes.
But I don't want guys to play through nagging injuries when you've got a team this deep. And here's the other thing I would venture to guess. We've seen Colt McCoy come in for Kyler Murray, and it's helped the football team in terms in a lot of different ways. It's brought confidence into the backup quarterback. It's brought a sense of security if Kyler Murray gets hurt again. This might not be the worst thing in the world for the Suns have to get by without Devin Booker for a few games.
True.
So that's the way I'm looking at it. Prolonging this winning streak at all costs would be folly.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can go about their business tonight and get a win against a struggling team. Now, nothing is for sure in the NBA. Even bad teams rise up. I mean, the Houston Rockets, are they still on a winning streak? They had won three in a row at one point, which I thought was impossible. So Detroit is very capable of coming in here and putting mm-hmm. together a good game. In terms of, you know, who steps in with Devin Booker out for a few games, James Jones was asked about that, who he anticipates maybe starting in place of Book.
Man, honestly, I can't anticipate anything. You know, that's a coaching decision, and that's more of a team decision. You know, you look at our team's depth. You know, a lot happens between now and tomorrow and now and Friday. I just trust Coach and the team to do whatever is best for us to position ourselves to win.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see how Monty Williams had to adjust on the fly. You know, Elfrid Payton got off the bench at times, played 4 minutes in that game. Does he become part of the rotation? Is it Landry Shamet that moves in? You know, the second half started with Cam Johnson at the four, mm-hmm. Basically the three with Jay Crowder out there. Mm-hmm. They bumped Mikal Bridges down to the two. So they have options. It'll be interesting to see how they go about it.
If you want to go big, you start Cam Johnson and you arrange the pieces. Mm-hmm. You want to go small, you play more Landry Shamet. I think they're going to do just fine. I expect them to win tonight, and I expect the streak to come to an end in San Francisco on Friday. That's just the way I feel about this, and I think that will still be one incredible accomplishment. But again, I don't want anybody to get hung up on, oh, it's a failure, the winning streak's over. It's been a remarkable thing watching the way they've put this streak together. And now they can set a franchise record if they win tonight. Is
yes.
that right?
And
okay.
There you go. That would be cool. That would be a feather in the cap for this team, especially to get their game 18
mm-hmm.
without Devin Booker. The other thing I'm wondering too, Bic, is about We talk so much about Chris Paul and how he has kind of navigated through this early part of the season. His shots are down from last year. Shot attempts are down. His points down. Does Chris Paul, and we've applauded Chris Paul for the concept of load managing during games, kind of picking and choosing his spots. Does he pick and choose his spots a little earlier? Does he pick up more of the slack offensively, which I think is another viable option should they go down that route and the ball's in his hands and he says, hey, I'm going to score a little bit more in the first half. I think that's, another level of flexibility that this team has right now.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. So I think they're very well built to sustain this and endure this.
I mean, you talked about the confidence it can give them. They just defeated the best team in the NBA essentially without Devin Booker. What more confidence could you have now? Now, essentially, no matter who you play, you know you could beat them without Devin Booker because you just did.
Yeah. Like we said, the winning streak is still intact, and they can break the franchise record tonight. And it's pretty rare air to have an 18-game winning streak. So that's what is on the line tonight. Now, the last time this franchise won 17 games in a row was the 06-07 season. James Jones was a part of that team as a player. Burns and Gambo asked him about that experience yesterday.
We were rolling. We got stuck, I think, in Denver for a couple of days, and we jumped on the plane. We flew to Phoenix straight from the plane to the arena, and we lost a tough one to Gilbert Arenas and the Wizards. But it was fun. It was one of those situations where you never think it's going to end, and once it's over, you sit back and you look and you say, hey, you know what, we have what it takes to do this again, and you get excited because now you know you can reach certain heights. You feel like you can start a streak, and you're not surprised when you win 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 games in a row again. So it was pretty cool to be a part of that, and I'm really fortunate to be a part of that in a different capacity now.
Yeah, I remember the Gilbert Arenas game very vividly. It was a 144-139 overtime game, and I remember just being so frustrated. He scored 54 points that night.
Yeah.
And they needed pretty much every one of those points to beat the Suns.
I remember that too. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. But that's the kind of territory this basketball team is kind of surfing in right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's with those kind of historical comparisons. They're right in there with the best teams we have ever had in Phoenix. And it's the star power, it's the depth, it's the defense, it's the chemistry. That's the really cool thing about this year's team is because there has been distractions. Even before the NBA investigation of Robert Sarver, there was the DeAndre Ayton no contract issue. There's a lot of stuff that could have thrown this team off sideways, and I said after last year that you only get year one once. You only get that innocence once. The Suns have done a real good job at clinging to that, and it shows you the depth of how close this team is. And this has kind of been the case now from the bubble to this point here.
Yeah.
And that is still intact, and that's impressive.
Well, and that was kind of a topic of discussion yesterday, too, with James Jones as the architect of this team. And, in real time, when they made those acquisitions of JaVale McGee and Landry Shamet, which, they're not headline-grabbing type maneuvers, but they strengthen an already good team. James Jones, on why he built the team the way that he did.
I mean, performance is bounded. There's only so many elite, otherworldly players in this league. And if you're fortunate enough to have a couple of them or three or four, like that's amazing. But I do know there's multiple ways to win. You can win by being top-heavy in talent and having extreme talent, or you can win being extremely agile like we are. I think our team is layered with so many good players with so many capabilities, and they're willing to step outside of themselves to win. I mean, when they do step outside of their comfort zone, they're pretty good in those other areas. So I just felt that we need to be agile. We believe in that agility, positionally, mentally, structurally. We try to live that. And I think when you see our guys on the court playing well, they seamlessly fit together. And that's because they're willing to be agile and do what it takes to win games.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the Chris Paul interview with TNT after the game, after they beat the Warriors the other night. And he just talked again, and we've heard Chris Paul say this, But he keeps reiterating, it's just so much fun to be in a group of such good guys.
Yeah.
And that's a guy that's been around the block a few times, mm-hmm. so he knows of what he speaks. Suns going for the franchise record 18th straight win tonight as they host the Pistons, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Attention, Cardinal fans, we're issuing a code red all next week as the division rival L.A. Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football on December 13th. Text the word red to 620-620. Listen for your name. 7:30, 12:30, 4:30, all next week for your chance to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. Once again, text red, R-E-D, to 620-620. Coming up next, hey, that hot stove league that was burning pretty hot, it's on hold. We got a labor stoppage in Major League Baseball. Can't those two sides just get along? We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Right past the top of the hour, Major League Baseball informed the Players Association that they did intend to lock them out. It's the ninth work stoppage in Major League Baseball history, and after 26 years of labor peace, here we are with a cold winter ahead. Nobody knows where it's going to go. Nobody knows how long it's going to last. The hope and the expectation is that we will have baseball come spring, but with the sides still far apart, we're not sure exactly where this is going to go.
Yeah, it's Jeff Passan of ESPN breaking the news. It was, I guess, you know, for somebody on the outside, frustrating that it was basically a situation where both sides were throwing their hands up even before the deadline. The reports are that the two sides sat down together, talked for 7 minutes,
yep.
and then kind of said, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
We'll see you after the lockout's over.
Well, yes, and there are significant fundamental differences in all of this, in their approaches. We don't need to get deep in the weeds on this because I don't think people care. I think people just hear this and want to throw up is what I think. But right, Sarah? That's
yes,
exactly right.
I'm just ticked.
Yeah, and I think that's the danger here for Major League Baseball is both sides now are going to do this game that we have seen over the course of time. They're going to try to make their positions clear. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to make them sympathetic, and people aren't going to have it. But at issue for those who care, it's basically this. Baseball players are under a lot of control. 6 years, if teams stretch them out properly,
mm-hmm.
okay. And then you're eligible to get paid massive amounts of money. Well, players have realized, wait a minute, those massive paydays aren't coming to us anymore. Not to the very top players, yes, but to the upper middle class in Major League Baseball, no. And they blame analytics for it. They blame the luxury tax threshold, all of that. They think, again, the owners are colluding to keep salaries down. And Major League Baseball, it just got done. And don't think this was by accident. We just got out of a month of November, as you pointed out, where there was a series of big deals after big deals after big deals.
$1.7 billion
total. $1.7 billion total, among them Max Scherzer and other players. And don't think that was by accident, because that allows the owners to go, oh, no, there's no collusion here. We'll spend money. We just can't have this agreement in place going forward. Point is this. This is going to threaten the viability of the Cactus League. There might not be a Cactus League if this thing gets nuts, which it might. And the other realization here is we've done this in Major League Baseball before. We've seen a World Series canceled. We've seen how work stoppages play out. We have social media now. And social media with players yapping and popping off, that's not going to help.
Well, former player Doug Glanville talked about that very issue. About that being a concern in the social media era. This is pretty interesting stuff.
The communication game. That's what's beginning now, and the messaging is going to matter. And what's different than when you go back 25, 26 years where labor peace started,
yep.
The difference is now you have social media and this direct contact that happens between players and fan bases. And I thought it was a watershed moment when the Astros scandal broke and the players started calling them out and they knew what was happening. They were directly attacking other constituents of this union.
Right.
And that's something that is a nightmare for the Players Association, because their goal is to keep so many different kinds of players in different marketplaces, different stages of their career mm-hmm. on the same page. So managing that is going to be extremely difficult. And that's the game that's played. And on the owner's side, they have to think of it the same way. Right. But there's a lot more players out there that can sort of break that firewall.
Right.
Yeah, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has a very well thought out letter to fans explaining the side of Major League Baseball. There was a very brief and terse statement from Players Association Director Tony Clark that said this drastic and unnecessary measure will not affect the players' resolve to reach a fair contract. We remain committed to negotiating a new collective bargaining agreement that enhances competition, improves the product for our fans, and advances the rights and benefits of our membership. To your point, to Sarah, reiterating your point, most people, even who are baseball fans, don't care. All they see is two sides that can't get together. And, you know, this is the first work stoppage since 94-95, and that's when they took a World Series. Baseball was in a much different place in 1994 and 1995, and it was devastating, but they were strong enough to withstand it.
Mm-hmm.
If this thing drags on and we see games canceled again, baseball's place in the American sports platform right now is way different 26 years later than it was since the last work stoppage. And I don't think they realize it. They didn't realize it when there was negotiations that needed to be done to resume the sport during a pandemic. We talked about that on a daily basis about how frustrated we are.
That was like a tease of this.
They just don't get it.
No.
Here's Buster Olney from ESPN.
There is real pessimism about how long this is going to last. I had one agent reach out to me and said that he texted his clients and basically said, look, Happy New Year, Happy Easter. I'll see you around Flag Day. Okay. And the question now is about the bleeding. On the owner's side, they're not going to be able to sell tickets. And on the player side, whenever this is resolved, the people are going to pay the price. The middle class free agents, they are absolutely going to get wrecked.
So if it does last a long time, here's Tim Kirkjian, also from ESPN.
This is not a good time for the lockout in baseball. Baseball's still the best game, but it has fallen below football, below basketball, and in some places below hockey as far as interest in fans. It's become a regional game, not a national game. I'm not sure baseball can handle an extended lockout that goes into the major league season. Are fans going to come back? I'm not positive this time.
Back to Buster Olney's point. In case you're not familiar with the holiday calendar, and I had to look it up myself, Flag Day is June 14th.
It is.
I also 6/14.
Flag Day. Yeah, that would be quite something, huh? No baseball. The fact that this, like you said, during the pandemic, that they were so tone deaf to say some of the things they were saying, and then to follow it up with this, that you're right, they just don't get it.
During the 5 months where there was no sports, where there was no topic we talked about more than how out of touch baseball was and how bad both sides came across and how they didn't want to do anything for the fans, that they were just being petulant children, both sides. That was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Everybody
saw this coming because of that. And for them to still let this happen.
Here. Yeah. It's insanity is what it is.
We are about to enter into our third calendar year affected by COVID-19. And the feeling from most of the American public right now is if you are employed, gainfully employed, you feel fortunate to have a job. So, look, without COVID, this would be an issue. The collective bargaining agreement was going to expire anyway. That just adds more strife to it. But that's another reason why baseball, to Tim Kirkjian's point, they can't have games canceled because the fans won't come back.
There have been, but when has that ever stopped them before?
It hasn't.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And there have been 100 little battles leading to this battle. For instance, making players undressed to see if they're got settle down, Jarrett. You know, checking for spider attack and all that stuff,
for wires and whatnot.
Undress is a strong word.
Well, I did see players unbuckling their belts.
That's true. Pull their pants down. That did happen.
Yeah. Well, also, what happened during those negotiations in the pandemic, in 2020 pandemic? Both sides felt like they got screwed in that. So now both sides are pissed off because of that, and it's only leading to more strife now.
But it's and once again, you're right about this. The people in the game who have seen the liquidity of baseball stay fairly fairly high in terms of just television deals and all that kind of stuff. They're blind to the way people perceive baseball. Baseball players are not even fans of the game, so they're not even in tune with the way fans feel about baseball. And to me, there is an appalling ignorance on both sides about how this is going to play out. And that, only baseball. Nobody does stupid like Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those times where if I was a fan, I would prescribe everybody to sit down and watch Field of Dreams, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I got to get my shots in.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's Thursday. Oklahoma still doesn't have a head football coach. What does that mean locally? Uh-oh. We'll get into all the latest next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.